There was a high school student in America, non-Jewish, who was being picked on. And he was being brutalized. Not physically, but someone was torturing him emotionally. Someone was stealing from his locker every day his sandwich. He was being bullied. He felt that there was no one to turn to, and he felt hopeless. So he decided to do the following. He put poison in his sandwich, in his locker. And that's what happened. And about an hour later, they're in class, and all of a sudden, one kid in class starts writhing in pain on the floor, starts vomiting, starts coughing uncontrollably. And this little science major, this chemistry major, he gets up and he says, "It was you. It was you who was taking my sandwich. I put poison in my sandwich and that's why you're so sick right now." They called the ambulance. They called the hospital people to come. And he took out of his pocket some antidote to the poison that he put into the sandwich. And this way the person got better. This was the story. This little nerd, science nerd, was being picked upon and bullied, finally stood up for himself. Afterwards, he became a celebrity in the school. Everyone thought, his star started to rise. Everyone thought that, wow, this is like the most unbelievable thing that he did. This is what happened. One of the people who was in the school, Jewish, non-religious, eventually made aliyah and became a doctor in Israel. And he was the head of a department in Israel, in a hospital. And he was at a shir by Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. Rav Zilberstein is a Rav in Bnei Brak, a son-in-law of Rav Elyasha Zatzal. And he is a fascinating figure who really brings up halacha l'maisa topics and halacha l'maisa issues. And he gives shiurim to health professionals on a variety of topics that has to do with the medical field. And this doctor came up to Rav Zilberstein and asked him, "What does the halacha say about such a situation? Can you put poison in your sandwich in order to protect yourself from being bullied and from being abused by whoever's stealing from your locker? Are you allowed to put poison in your own sandwich?" This is a question that was asked for Rav Zilberstein. Rav Zilberstein's response, and it was quoted in this journal, in a journal in Source 1 called Pamei Yaakov, his response was very, very short. Second to last line, Rav Zilberstein ana, and he answered the following, "Lo rak mutar, it's not only permitted, af mitzvah yesh bedavar, it's even a mitzvah to do this, haliteu la rasha v'yamas, give it to the rasha, serve it to the rasha and let him die." That was Rav Zilberstein's psak. Someone publicized this story in this journal in Israel called Pamei Yaakov about 12, 13 years ago. As soon as the journal hit the press, and as soon as people started reading it, everyone started responding. Rabbanim started responding, Rashi Yeshiva started responding, they started giving shiurim and yeshivas about this topic. I think this is the first yeshiva, this is the first time in Shalvim that we're doing this topic. Anyway, we're 12, 13 years, a little bit behind the times. Anyway, so everyone started talking about this topic, and they had so many responses to the journal. So many articles written, letters written, they were inundated with responses, that in the next publication, the next issue, they wrote 4 or 5 articles written by different people, all against Rav Zilberstein's psak. They also have Rav Zilberstein's rebuttal in the same journal, and this became the hot topic that everyone was talking about 12, 13 years ago. Are you allowed to poison your own sandwich? A couple of other cases that will whet our appetite and basically run the gamut of all these different types of cases, similar cases. In Source 2, one of the contemporaries, Rav Zev Spitz, he writes a sefer called Mishpatei HaTorah, which also deals with halacha l'maisa questions. In Israel, you have in many communities, many of you probably have seen them in Yerushalayim, there are buildings that are basically like 4 stories high. It's an apartment building, but not like an apartment building like in Chutz La'aretz. It's an apartment building that only has 4 floors. There are like 8 apartments or 12 apartments in the building. Well, there were certain top floor apartments that were having problems with theft. Somebody was stealing from the upper apartments. They guessed correctly in the end that someone was coming in from the roof. Someone was coming in from a different roof, jumping on this roof, and then jumping down onto the top porch, on the top porch, and then entering the building. Well, in order to jump from the roof to the top porch, the person had to jump first onto these two cement pegs that were coming out like this from the wall. There were metal, a wire line between those two cement pegs. That's where they used to hang laundry. So on these two cement pegs that were coming out of the wall, this person was jumping down onto the cement peg, on this cement beam, and then he was jumping onto the porch. Well, they said, you know what? There's one way to stop the person from coming in from the roof. We're going to weaken these cement beams that are coming out so that they'll be loose. Now let's see what happens. After 2 days, they hear, ah! Person got really hurt jumping from the roof onto the cement beam, thinking that he was going to be on solid ground, but instead, he fell and he has to be hospitalized. Was it mutter for this apartment building to use such a method to try to stop the thief? Case number three. What happens if a person, this is just like, it's probably a theoretical case. Case number three, I'm just stating cases right now, we're not on the sheet now, but in case number three, there was a person who had a bank and he had a vault. And he knew that somebody might come in and one day try to, you know, the way it is in the movies, he's listening, right? He's listening to see if he can open the vault. And he decided to put a candy dish right next to the vault with poison candy. He thinks, you know, like if the guy's maybe trying to open the vault, eventually he'll say like, wow, there are candies here. You know, I'm a little hungry. It'd be nice to taste something sweet. He'll taste it. And then he'll find the door is open, but the guy is sitting right there in front of the vault. Can a person use such a measure to make sure that somebody won't steal from the bank vault? Case number four, can a person have electric windows? Can a person have electric windows that are so electric that a person could come electrocuted if they try to break into your house? Certainly in America, the law is, as I know, that you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that, certainly without a warning. For sure you're not allowed to do that. Maybe with a warning, this is an electrified fence, maybe that's mutter. But certainly without warning, for sure you're not allowed to do that. Is that so clear, al pi halacha, that you're not allowed to have electrified windows? There's a person who wants to put a big pit in his backyard right in front of the bushes so that if a person tries to jump in over the bushes, he'll then fall into the pit in order to make sure that he's not going to break into your house. Another case that was brought up in the postgame, we won't get to all these cases, but there was a person who climbed with a rope into your house and he's now, or into a bank, and he's robbing now the bank. Well, now you see the rope, and that's obviously the way he's getting out also. So you replace the rope with a rope that's a little bit loose and that's going to break. So he then starts climbing on the rope, and then he falls down. Mutter to do such a thing or not mutter to do such a thing? Two last cases. One was actually discussed in the postgame. There was a person who had, let's say, tomato fields. And he had a lot of beautiful tomatoes. The problem is there's this pesky dog in the community that is constantly going into his rishos and eating his tomatoes. He wants to put a stop to it. He tries. He tries to put up a fence. He finds a way around the fence. He says, I can't handle it anymore. So he decides to put poison all around his tomatoes. He'll sacrifice one batch of tomatoes. This way the dog will eat it, whoever the offending dog is. The dog will eat it. That'll be the end of the dog. And now he'll now be able to plant new tomatoes and his new batches of tomatoes will all be okay. Is that mutter to do? Last case, I found on the internet the following little story about rhinoceroses, who knows, rhinos, we'll call them. There was a person who did the following, I'll just read it to you. Lorinda Hearn has taken an even more drastic measure to save rhinos. Her family owns the Rhino and Lion Nature Reserve outside of Johannesburg. They decided to inject the horns of their rhinos with a parasiticide that she claims is safe for the rhino but would make humans sick. We've armed our rhinos. We've armed them. We've treated their horns, and if you do consume the horn, you do so at your own peril. I can guarantee you it will not have the desired effect, Hearn said. Is she allowed to do this? What's the question here? What's the major question here? The major question, if we can just put it in a nutshell, the question is, are you allowed to do something in your own property to protect yourself? And if a person then comes into your property, it's not your responsibility. He's at fault. He should not be coming into your property. He should not be coming into the locker to steal your sandwich. He should not be coming on the roof to break into your property. He should not be jumping over the rose bush, the bushes, in order to steal something from your property. the dog should not be coming into your rishus and eating tomatoes. Are you allowed to do something in your own rishus to protect yourself and let the burden of watching out be on the people who enter your rishus and trespass into your own rishus? So this is the major question. I'm going to try to break it down. As I said, everyone started talking about this case. So many responses back and forth, being mitayel through Shas and Poskim and Rishonim to figure out where are there rayos for and against. Are you allowed to do this? Are you not allowed to do this? Rav Zilberstein's psak. Rav Zilberstein's psak. Haliteo l'rasha v'yamus. No, let him eat it and die. We have to see what's the justification for such a psak. I don't know if we're going to necessarily come to a conclusion. We'll come to maybe a partial conclusion. But one of the things that we have here is because it was written in the journal and then the responses and then his rebuttal to the responses, we have basically both sides expressing themselves about almost every source. Every Gemara, one person saw it as a raya, the other person had the dechia. We have everything. We do not have to necessarily speculate. What I am doing today is really just organizing the topic. There are a couple of places where this was written up. Rav David Gottlieb, who used to give a chuk here, he was Shana Aleph in Shalavim when I was Shana Bet. He has a sefer called Ateres Yaakov where he has a short article on this topic. He brought this topic to the attention of Rabbi Bleich. Rabbi Bleich, a tremendous law professor and tremendous Talmud Chacham who teaches in YU and teaches in Smicha. He has a sefer called Contemporary Halachic Problems. And the latest volume of Contemporary Halachic Problems, there's basically a 50-page article in English called The Case of the Poison Sandwich. And it's really also, it's not just a summary. He has a lot of his own additions also and his own take on the issue. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to organize the topic. What are the different reasons to object to Rav Zilberstein? What are some of the rebuttals that Rav Zilberstein gives towards these objections? First things first, by having the person eat your poison sandwich and you put the poison in there, it's as if you fed him the sandwich. You caused it. You did it. How can you cause someone's, in certain cases, death or tremendous sickness? How can you cause that? You did this al yedei grama. The first Gemara that everyone quoted against Rav Zilberstein is the following Gemara in Baba Kama. In source 3 on the sheet. In source 3 on the sheet, the Gemara says as follows in Baba Kama. Hichnis perosav l'chatzer balabayis. We'll try to read very little through the sheet. But the Gemara says as follows. Hichnis perosav l'chatzer balabayis. If I bring my peros into someone's rishus, into I, Ruvain, bring my peros into Shimon's rishus, shelo rishus, without permission. But now it's in his property without permission. V'achlasan behematad shel balabayis, pater. And the animal of the balabayis ate my fruits. The balabayis is pater. Because what in the world am I doing bringing my tomatoes into Shimon's rishus? Shimon's animal ate them. It's my problem. The imhuska behen. But if Shimon's animal, after I brought my tomatoes into rishus, then slipped on the tomatoes, it's my fault. I brought in tomatoes, and they basically caused his animal to slip on those tomatoes. Says the Gemara in source 4. Amarav, fifth word. Lo shanu ela shehuchlaka behen. This is only if Shimon's animal slipped on the tomatoes that you brought in. Aval achla putter. But if he ate the tomatoes and got sick from eating so many tomatoes, let's say he ate 600 tomatoes, then you're not in fault. Why? My time. It shouldn't eat all those tomatoes. Idiot animal that he's eating 100 tomatoes. What's he doing eating 100 tomatoes? It's his own fault. Tosis even explains what's the reason for this in source 5 at the end. Hainu taima. Since the animal brought it onto his own, basically his own volition. So that's not your responsibility. He did it. It's not your fault. Says the Gemara, is that true? Amar of Sheshes, Amina Kinayim, Vishachiv Rav, Amar Lahai Shmaita. I think that Rav was sleeping when he said this Shmaita, meaning I disagree. The Tanya, because the Brisa says, and this Brisa is the source against Rav Zilberstein. If I put poison in front of the animal of my friend, pater midine adam, I'm not chayiv nezek, because it's not a direct mazik, it's only grama. But I'm chai b'dinei shemayim. In shemayim, they're going to hold me responsible because I caused his animal to die by putting poison in front of him. Says the Gemara, sam hamaves hu delo avida da'achla. Sam hamaves, maybe you're only chai b'dinei shemayim because sam hamaves, there's no way he's going to eat poison. Aval peros da'avida da'achla b'dinei adam nami l'chayiv. But fruits, which he certainly would eat, you're even going to be chayav b'dinei adam. Says the Gemara, not true. You're also only chayav b'dinei shemayim. What do you see from the Gemara? When you bring tomatoes into someone else's rishus, or if you put poison in front of the behemoth of your friend, you are pater b'dinei adam because you're only a grama. But you're chayav b'dinei shemayim. It's as if you did it. In shemayim's view, you're the one who caused this animal to die for either eating poison, ingesting poison, or from eating too many tomatoes. You're a chayiv b'dinei shamayim. So that you see from here, you don't actually have to feed the animal. You don't have to actually feed the person. Just by putting it in a certain situation, and the animal did it itself, you're a chayiv b'dinei shamayim. It's as if you did it. This Gemara is an explicit raya against Rav Zilberstein. Rav Zilberstein had two things to say about this Gemara in order to avoid this raya. He made two distinctions. The first distinction that he made was, it depends on location. Location, location, location. Where is this happening? The fruits, the tomatoes, you went into Shimon's Rishus. You should never have placed it there. You had no right to place the tomatoes there. So when the animal ingests too many tomatoes, you're at fault, you're chayav b'dinei shamayim. What's the case of Sam Hamavis? I'm standing in Rishus Arabim, and I put poison right in front of my friend's behema. That's in Rishus Arabim. What right do you have to put poison in Rishus Arabim? In all the cases, almost all the cases that we're talking about, we're not talking about entering someone else's Rishus and putting it there, and we're not even talking about putting it in Rishus Arabim. We're talking about placing it in your own Rishus. You're allowed to place things in your own Rishus. There's no riot from the Gemara that you're going to be chai b'dinei shemayim in that situation. Why? What's the Svara? I put it there. If you come into my rishus, you're the one who did the whole thing. I'm not a grumma. I didn't do anything ayyidei grumma. If I put it into rishus harabim and then it happens, I'm a gori. If I put it into your rishus and then you ate it, I'm a gori. If I did it in my own rishus, I'm allowed to do whatever I want in my own rishus. This is one of Zilberstein's tremendous, we're going to use it later also, tremendous svaros. You know, you think to yourself, you said like, who's the muchzak here and who's the motzi? Who's the mechadesh here? Who's the one who said the more mechudashita? And at first glance, you're going to all say, Rav Zilberstein. Everyone else says, you have to be machmir. You can't do such a thing. You can't cause other person's death or other person's sicknesses. Rav Zilberstein, who's the one who's saying you're putting poison in the sandwich, he's the mechadesh. Rav Zilberstein says, no, I'm not. You're the one who's trying to be mechadesh. Me? It's my own rishus. I'm allowed to do whatever I want in my own rishus. You want to restrict me from my bilus? You want to restrict my ownership that I'm not allowed to do? That's what ownership is. Ownership is I'm allowed to do whatever I want in my own rishus. You want to restrict me? You're the one who has to prove it. This is the same svara here. Rav Zilberstein says, it's my rishus. You're the one who caused the entire thing. You're the one by coming into my rishus. You're the cause. I'm not the cause. That was his first distinction. His second distinction was, eino dome a behema and a person. A behema, what do you expect from an animal? You put poison in front of an animal. What do you expect from an animal? You put tomatoes, 100 tomatoes in front of an animal. What do you expect from an animal? An animal is like, even though this svar of Tosis was good, you know, it shouldn't have eaten. The Gemara said, my time, it shouldn't eat it. That's a good svara. But with an animal, we go, you know, even though that's a good svara, but you know what? You caused it. He's not fully responsible for his own actions, an animal. After all, it's an animal. But a person, it's all on the person. You're the one who did it. You're the one who caused this. You have logic. You have seichel. You should have the ability to prevent yourself from this damage. So this was the first raya, possible raya against Rav Zilberstein, and Rav Zilberstein brought two distinctions. So at first glance, what did we try to do? Maybe you did it. By placing poison into the sandwich, and then the person eating it, knowing fully well that the person was going to eat it, you caused it. You're chayav b'dinei shamayim. It's as if you fed him the poison. What did we say now? No, it's not true. You did not feed him the poison. He fed the poison to himself. It's not your responsibility. You're not the goring. You're not the cause. He's the cause. But now let's take one more step back. Okay, you didn't cause it. You're not a goring. You're not somebody who caused this. You're not chayev b'dinei shamayim. But you know what? You know that he's going to eat it. You know that. He doesn't know any better. He doesn't know there's poison in the sandwich. You know he's going to do it. What happens when you see a fellow Jew about to ingest poison? There's a mitzvah in the Torah to help him. What is that mitzvah called? What is that mitzvah called? Lo samor adam reyecha. You can't stand by while another person is going to get hurt. If you see a person about to drown, you have to stop him. If you see a person about to ingest poison, you have to stop him. If you see somebody jumping over a bush and he's about to land in a pit, right before he jumps over the bush, you should tackle him and stop him. After all, you have to save a Jew. This is the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. This is the mitzvah of helping a Jew. There's a mitzvah to save the life of a fellow Jew. So how could it be, even if you're not the cause, even if you're not a murderer, even if you're not a gorei murder, even if not you're a causer of murder, but you know what? He's going to die. Where is your mitzvah here of saving a life, of helping him? Where's your mitzvah? Where did that go? How can that mitzvah of Lo Samor Adam Reyecha just evaporate? So what's the pshat that Rav Zilberstein says? So Rav Zilberstein says the following. Let's take a look at some mikoros here about the iser of Lo Samor Adam Reyecha. In source 7, the Rambam brings down, anytime you could save a person and you didn't, you were over on Lo Samor Adam Reyecha. You see a person who's going to drown, you have to save him. Are there any exceptions? Source 8. Haminim. A person who does averos on a regular basis, lahachis, meaning to anger Hashem, he's not doing it for his own enjoyment, he's just trying to stick it to God. That's averos lahachis, a mumer lahachis. You don't know how to have a mitzvah to save him. He continues. Bamed dvarim amurim. When is it there a time in Halacha Yud Beis that you don't necessarily have to save someone, a Jew? Yisrael Bala Veros Haomed Birisho Vishonebo Tamid Kigon Haroim Behema Daka Shepakru Begezel. One of the halachos of people that you don't have to save is Roe Behema Daka. People who take care of these animals who just eat wherever they want. He walks over with these animals and the animals just eat wherever they want. He's basically Mufkar from Gezel. He just takes everybody's reshuyos, like Lot, right? With Lot and Avram, so too, he just lets the animals graze wherever they want. Ro'e behemadaka. We don't have to help Ro'e behemadaka. Why? Because they are a Baal Averos, Ha'omed Birisho, Vishonebo Tamid. They are a repeat offender. You're right, it's only Gezel, but they are a repeat offender. So the Rambam here gives two svaros, two different exceptions to the rule. Lahachis, and somebody who's shonebo tamid, somebody who's mufkar begezel and does it on a regular basis. The Pisrei Tshuva in Source 10 also says, Ayin taz dekan mayri b'mumer l'teyavon arbe pa'amim. Somebody who's even a mumer l'teyavon who does it for his own benefit, but does it a lot. Somebody does it on a regular basis. On the next line, ganav mefursam. Somebody who's a ganav mefursam, you are allowed to act against him. You do not have a mitzvah to save him. Said Rav Zilberstein the following. This bully is a repeat offender. This bully even further. He considers him lahachis. Why is he lahachis? So Rav Zilberstein says a very interesting svara. Why is he doing this? He clearly is not doing it for the enjoyment of the sandwich. Bullies, this is now a psychoanalysis of bullying. Bullies do not do it because they enjoy the whatever they're receiving. If they're stealing pocket money, it's not just because they really want the money. They have this like natia that they have this greed that they want the money. They enjoy torturing people. They enjoy the torture. Says Rav Zilberstein, that's lahachis. That's not l'teyavon. L'teyavon is a person that has taivas, person has money. So he wants the food in order so that he can eat more. He wants the money so that he can buy things for himself. That's a mumer l'teyavon. A mumer lahachis is a person who does it not for teyavon, just to be bad, just to be evil. He enjoys the torture. That's tantamount to being a mumer lahachis. There's no mitzvah of lo samor adam reyecha. That's Rav Zilberstein's chiddush by the poisonous sandwich case. But you know what? In a lot of the other cases that we mentioned, it's not so clear now. In the case where you have the bushes, somebody's going to jump over your bushes and he's going to land into the hole. Who says he's the god of Mefursam? This might be his first trick. This might be his first opportunity to steal. I'll even go further. He didn't even steal yet. This might be his first attempt, which means he's not even a ganav. I can't even call him a ganav l'teyavon for one time yet. He's an almost ganav. He's an aspiring ganav. But he's not a real ganav yet. So he's not a ganav meforsam for sure. So for that type of person, if I would see him about to jump over the bushes, I would have to tackle him. Certainly I can't build the bore and allow him to fall into the bore. The same thing with the bank vault. The person broke in, maybe the trespassing is already one type of gneva, but that's only one gneva. Just because a person does gneva on his first time, I have no mitzvah to help him and to save him. How can I put the poisonous candy there? I know that he might eat it. I have to help him. I have to save him. So you know what you would have to do? And the same thing, by the way, and what about the person on the roof who's coming down? He might already be a ganav mefursam. He already be a ganav a few times. They know about it a few times already. He's not exactly lahachis. He might just enjoy, he enjoys the spoils of his thefts. So it's not so clear. It's at least a machlokas haposkim on that. So in a lot of these situations, you can get out of the mitzvah of lo samar adam reyecha by putting a sign. The problem is, the sign will completely, the deterrent is totally lost if you put up a sign. Imagine if he puts on the cement pegs, don't jump here, these things are loose. That's not going to help. Or right on top of the bushes, there's a big ditch right behind these bushes. That you can't help. If you put by the candy dish, by the bank vault, and goes, these candies are poison. So then a person's not going to, they won't be effective either. So it turns out, if there's an isser of lo samar adam reyecha, so you have to warn him. But in these types of situations, the warning won't help. So what are you supposed to do? So if it's a ganav meforsam, at least the machlokas haposkim, and if he's a ganav lahachis, Reb Zilberstein says the bullying is evil, torturous, and therefore that person is considered lahachis, so then there is no isser, there is no mitzvah of lo samar adam reyecha. One example of the ganav meforsam is a fascinating gemara in Bava Metzia in Source 11, okay? We have a couple of stories from gemaras that are so interesting. Source 11. The Gemara in Bava Metzia on Pei Gimel says the following. Reb Elazar ber Reb Shimon eshkach lahu parghoga de katan fizganvei. Reb Elazar ber Reb Shimon found this tax collector who was trying to capture people who steal. Amalei hecha yachotlu lav kichayusa mitle dechsibo tirmos kol chayso ya'ar. Amalei umay avid hamana demalkul. He goes, it's a hard job, but what can I do? That's my job. Amar tog maracha hechetavit. Reb Elazar ber Shimon says, let me teach you how to catch ganavim. And he gives him a whole story. He says, O ba'arba shay l'chanusa, go at 4 a.m. to the chanus. Ki chazinish, if you see somebody there that's drinking wine, the kashasi chamra, go at 4 p.m, to the chanus. If you see somebody there who's drinking wine, the kanaki kasubiyade, and he's holding a cup in his hands, the kamenan, and he's falling asleep, sha'oli lavei, ask him the question. Itzur b'mi rabbananu, if he's a tamachacham b'nayim, and he's falling asleep, akdu mekadam l'gir, so he obviously wakes up early in the morning to go learn. If he's a worker, he also gets up early. But if he stays up all night and does his work, in other words, he gave him a whole etza how to figure out who's a ganev. Go to the bar, ask the right questions, you'll figure out by the way that he's drinking wine, by the way that he's falling asleep. You'll ask him a few questions, you'll get the right answers, you'll be able to tell whether he's a ganev or not. Ishtame Milsebe Malka, the kingdom heard that this is Reb Elazar ber Shimon's plan. Amru, Karna de Igrisa, Ihu Lahavi Pravanka. The person who's the messenger of this message, he's the one who should carry this out. He should be the Shaliach. In other words, Reb Elazar ber Shimon is such a brilliant strategist. Let him start acting out the strategy, manifesting the strategy. So the Gemara says, I shul Reb Elazar ber Shimon bekataf is ganvei. So Reb Elazar ber Shimon started capturing thieves and turning them in to the authorities. Shalach le Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, chometz ben yayin. You are the vinegar, the son of wine. Meaning, even though your parents are like fine wine, you're just like vinegar. Meaning, you're a bad guy. Ad matay ata moser amoshel elokeinu lahariga. When are you just like sending the Am Yisrael, the Am of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to death? Shalach le, he sent back, kotzim ani mechalem min hakerem. All I'm doing is removing thorns from the vineyard. Shalach lei, so he responded back, Yavo balakerem v'yichalei kotzav. Let the balakerem, let the person who's in charge of the vineyard, let him remove the thorns. And this was the machlokes. Eliyahu Anavi didn't want to go to him. The Gemara basically paskins Later on, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a person who is a ganav mefursam, a ganav who's a career ganav, you're allowed to turn him in to the authorities. In other words, there is no mitzvah of lo samal adam reyecha to a ganav mefursam. This is one of the great rayos for this idea. Okay, so what we have so far is the following. We started off by saying that maybe when you put poison in the sandwich, you did it. You poisoned him. Not so fast. Maybe you're chai b'dinei shemayim. It's as if you poisoned him. We said, no, it's not true. There's a difference between putting the poison in your own rishus as opposed to rishus harabim. We said there's a difference between an animal and a man. Second possibility, okay, you didn't put the poison in him. You didn't poison him. But you got to help him. How do you turn your back on this guy? This guy's about to get really, really hurt. And you have a mitzvah to help. Am Yisrael. The answer is, a bully is lahakis. Or if he's a god of mefursim already, maybe we have no mitzvah to help him and no mitzvah to save him. Okay? But that limits some of the cases. Some of the cases weren't talking about a ganav mefursam. Some of the cases weren't talking about a ganav who's already considered a mumar la'achis. But in those types of situations, maybe you're not a causer of it, and you have no mitzvah of hatzala and mitzvah of lo samal adam reyecha. Next point Rav Zilberstein makes. You know what? He says, in most situations, even without the little sign next to the candy, that this candy is poison, you're considered warned already. Why are you considered warned? You have to know that this is what Gneva could do. Now, even though what Zilberstein said is objected by everybody else, and it seems not so logical, that all of a sudden any Ganev should expect that there's going to be a tremendous thing that basically clomps down on him and kills him. Every Ganev should expect such a thing. You were warned. Where was I warned? Because the Torah says lo signal, and there are midrashim that say that a Ganev is going to get his just desserts. That's enough? That's considered forewarning? But says Rav Zilberstein, but there is considered a forewarning in the poison sandwich case. Why? How long did the bully think that the little chemistry major was the little guy? How long did he think that he was just going to take it? When you bully someone and bully someone and bully someone, you have to expect, at least it's reasonable to expect at some point, that there might be a reaction, that there might be a defense. You've been warned. Nizharta. As long as this is an idea of you've been warned, so then I'm done. You know what? If I put a sign, the cement beams are loose, don't jump on them, I'm certainly putter. I didn't do any problem. I didn't cause it, and I also didn't violate my issue of saving him. I tried to save him. I put up the sign. In other words, as soon as you were warned, there's no problem. Another story in the Gemara. Source 12. Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, and Reb Yossi. I won't read the Hebrew, but I'll translate in English as we're going. Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yossi went on the derech, and they went to an inn. Reb Meir is someone who was very medayik in the name of a person. Reb Yehuda, Reb Yossi were not medayik in the name of the person. They got to an inn, and he gave him a place, and they said, "What's your name?" He said, "Kidor. My name is Kidor." Ooh, Reb Meir goes, "Oh boy, this person's a big Russia. Shma mina, this guy's a big Russia. You know why? Kidor tahapuchos hema." Talking about a bad generation. So it's talking about Kidor. Kidor must be a really bad guy. But Rabbi Yossi, Ishtamale Kisayu, they gave him their wallets. Here, put this in the hotel safe. And they gave it to Kidor. Rabbi Meir did not do such a thing. So they went, and there was a dream, and they were all worried about it. They had a dream that said that something was really bad. Okay. Later on, they went back to the store owner and they said, "Okay, can we have our wallets back?" He goes, "What are you talking about? What wallets? What wallets? You didn't give any wallets." So Reb Meir says, "How come you guys weren't medayik in his name? I told you to be medayik in his name. My shita is so good." So basically, I told you so. So they said, "You know what? Let's do something." They went to the store and they found that he was that the store owner was. The hotel owner had something on his mustache. He had beans on his mustache. He had some food on his mustache. They went to the wife, and they said, "Your husband said that you can give us our wallets." He said, "Really?" They said, "Really? Yeah. He was just eating lentils. He was just eating lentils in the cafeteria or whatever. And like that's our simon, you know. And he just told us right now that you should give back the wallets." She gave them the wallets. When her husband came home, and he saw that the wallets weren't there, he went ballistic, and he killed her. And he killed his wife for giving giving over those wallets. And the Gemara says over here, you see from here, because of Mayim Achronim, Harguas HaNefesh, this guy didn't do Mayim Achronim, whatever, anyway, this is one of the story, one of these great stories about Mayim Achronim, okay? So anybody's thinking about Mayim Achronim, anyway. Says Rav Zilberstein, did they not think that this might happen? Did they not think that this guy is going to be enraged when they trick the wife into giving the wallets and that he might respond? LMI, they're allowed to do it. What about the fact that he just killed his wife, that he just lost his wife? The answer is, he brought it on himself. Somebody who already steals like this is considered forewarned. He brought it on himself. He thought that this was a great raya from the Gemara, that this idea of, if you were warned, person brought it upon himself. This story, this particular story, Imamish brought on himself, and therefore they're allowed to do whatever they do with their money and let the chips fall where they may. Other Mefarshim say, did they really think that if they really thought he was going to kill her, maybe they would have just said, keep the wallet. In other words, he didn't really think he was going to be enraged. When I just told you the story that he killed his wife, you're like, whoa, he killed his wife. There was like a, whoo, like, what is that really what happened? That's crazy. Yeah, maybe that's what they thought also. In other words, if they really thought that she was going to die, maybe they wouldn't do it. Okay. What do we have now? Just to review again. Did you do it? Did you cause it? Says Rav Zilberstein, you didn't cause it. It's a person. It's a person. And it's your own rishus. Okay, but don't you have a mitzvah to help him? Not a ganav mefursam. Not a ganav that's mumer lahachis. Plus, in certain cases, you're warned. Come on. After doing it so much, you have to expect a reaction. Okay. Two more basic parts to the shir. First part, what Rav Zilberstein's line was. Not only is it mutter, it's a mitzvah. Hal iteu l'rasha v'yamus. This is a loaded term. This was not just the words. Yeah, let him die. Go ahead, who cares? This was a language from the Gemara. Where is this in the Gemara? The Gemara is found in Baba Kama on Daf Samach Tesem and Aleph, in source 15. There the Gemara discusses the following. We'll do this all outside. The Mishnah says, what happens if you have fruit? If you have fruit that are orla. If you have fruit that are orla. If you have fruits that are from the first 3 years that are not allowed to be eaten. So then you've got to put a sign over there. You've got to do something that makes it very clear it's orla. Nobody eat this because it's orla. If you eat it, you chayav misa b'dei shamayim. Says Reb Shimon ben Gamliel in the Mishnah in Maaser Sheni, this is only during a regular year. I'm sorry. This is only during a Shemitah year. But if it's a regular year, you don't have to do it. Why? What's the distinction between a Shemitah year and a regular year? In a Shemitah year, a person can walk into your Rishus and take whatever he wants. So if he takes the fruit of Orla, he's going to be in big trouble. Then you have to put up a sign. You have to do something that makes it very clear that it's Orla. But if it's a regular year, what's this guy doing in your Rishus? He shouldn't be coming into your Rishus. He's stealing your fruits. He's stealing your oranges. Do you think that I have to help him and warn him? By the way, don't eat the orla. Do you tell a thief who's coming into your Rishus, do you start making announcements? By the way, stay away from the orla because there's a chayav chiyav misa b'dei shamayim. Do I have to help the thief? I don't have to help the thief. Says the Gemara, what's the svara? Says the Gemara in Source 15, just look. Avo b'shar shnei shavua hal iteyu l'rasha v'yamus. Feed the Rasha and die. By the way, the only time Haliteu is ever found, in Tanakh, in Shas, Tanakh, I know, Shas, I don't really know 100%, but I'm taking Rav Zilberstein and others' words for it. It's from Haliteu min ha'adam ha'adam hazeh by Esav. So Haliteu l'Rasha, and that's why the Lashon of Rasha, that's why it's Esav the Rasha. Haliteu l'Rasha v'yamus. Feed him the food and let him die. Now that's a very strong language. Does anyone think that you can take this Rasha who's walking into your Rishus, give him Orla, and feed it to him? Are you allowed to feed him Orla? Nobody thinks that. So what's the Pshat in Haliteu l'Rasha v'yamus? So the Pshat is the following. Very much not like the way Rav Zilberstein said. Haliteu l'Rasha v'yamus means, what's this whole mitzvah? This whole mitzvah is to put up a sign. I have to be a good Samaritan to help people. I'll help people. Do I have to help Ganavim? A Ganav who walks into my Rishus, do I have to put up a sign, by the way, stay away from the Orla? No! He wants to eat it, let him eat it and die. In other words, I don't have to go the extra mile to help the thief. That doesn't mean I can cause anything to happen to him. Doesn't mean I can do any activity to hurt him. I'm only allowed to stay passive. I'm allowed to sit here, and even though I'm watching him going to my rishos and eating orla, I don't have to stop him. I don't have to put up a sign. I don't have to go the extra mile to help the thief, but I certainly can't do an activity. This is passive. I'm allowed to stay on the side and not do anything. Rav Zilberstein is well aware that that's what the usage of the Gemara is. He has two comments about this. Number one is that if you take a look at the Me'iri in Source 18, he actually says in the boldface, Mutav v'yishtarshu b'cheit v'yochlu davar iser. He uses the language that it's actually better. Let him eat it. Better this guy should die. Better the ganav should die. In other words, a real negative attitude towards this person. Not just don't help him, but better that he die. Still not a raya that you're allowed to actively do something that will eventually cause his death. Okay. Rav Shimon Miserlio, one of the Perushim on the Yerushalmi, also says this at the last words, Adif tvei kidei sheyamos mehera. You know what? Better that he die. But he doesn't have a raya that you can do an activity. It's just, we're now not just saying passively, you don't have to go the extra mile. Better that this guy should die. It's like a, you know, we're making a judgment call. A judgment, let him die. Where's the raya? Says Rav Zilberstein, the raya is from the Lashon, the language. What kind of language is Halitel Rasha V'yamos? That means feed the Rasha and let him die. No one thinks that you're allowed to feed the Rasha and let him die. The Chavis Yair in Source 16 already asks, I don't understand. Why in the world would you be able to feed a Rasha and let him die? What's the mukkah for this halacha? He says, anybody who helps me find the answer to this halacha, they should be called like an uman. A person who's obviously very skilled if he can find a raya for this yesod. What's the yesod here? But says Rav Zilberstein, the pshuto shel mikra, halitel rasha v'yamos means feed him. Even though you're not allowed to actually feed him, but you certainly get the gist of it, which is, I don't have to do anything, and maybe I'm allowed to do things in my own. It's just, let him die, it's not my problem. Other Mefarshim all said this sugya is not a raya at all. All this tells you is that you don't have to go the extra mile. Even if it's a judgment call, let him die. It's still not a raya that you're allowed to actively do something that will eventually cause his death. The last part of this year, the last hara in this year, is there any precedent for our case? And Rav Zilberstein says, I found precedent. I found a Gemara that says explicitly that you're allowed to do something in your own reshus, let the chips fall where they may, let the ganav fall down and break his neck. What's the Gemara? The Gemara is it's actually found in Derech Eretz Rabbah, in Source 21. The Gemara says that you have to, even though you have to be mechabed your orchim, you have to be choshed them. You should sometimes be worried that maybe they're ganavim. And the Gemara tells a story, Maise b'Rabbi Yoshua, sheishkim etzlo adam, there was a person who came to his house and he gave him food and drink, and he put him in the upstairs into the attic. Lishkav to sleep. Well, you know how they used to go into the attic? If anybody's seen a boredom in the yeshiva row. So you have to put a ladder, and that's how you go into the attic. So you know what? He said goodnight to the ganef. He closed the attic door, and then he removed the ladder. Vinatal Sulami tachtav, he removed the ladder. Masa oso ayish, what did this ganav do? Amad b'chatzi alayla, he got up in the middle of the night, v'natal sakelim, he had other kelim with him, maybe that he stole already, he might already have been a perpetrator instead of only someone who's planning it. V'karchan b'talito, and he put it into his talis, v'kevan shibikesh leireid, nafal min hagag, he went down, he opened the door, he stepped down, woo, and he fell down with all of his stuff, V'nishbara mifrakato, his neck broke or some part of him broke. L'shacharis ishkim Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua sees him in the morning, writhing in pain on the floor. Basically, probably not moving. Not moving on the floor, with his eyes open, still breathing. Matzo kishun ofel, he sees him on the floor. Amalo reka, empty person. Kachol sim b'nei adam shekamoscha. Can't believe people like you. Amalo Rebbe, lo yidu yodea shenatata sulami tatai. I didn't know that you removed the ladder from underneath. Amalo Reka, empty one. Yataya Deasha Emeshainu Zirimbacha. Didn't you know that we were very wary of you yesterday? Says Rav Zilberstein, I don't understand. He removed the ladder and then the guy fell down and broke his neck. What was he doing here? He did something in his own rishus and let the chips fall where they may. The person stepped down and broke his neck. This is exactly our case. I did something in my own rishos with my own stuff, and the ganav, I knew that the ganav was going to do it. The ganav was going to fall down, and I did it anyway. What about lo samad al dam reyecha? It's a one-time gneva that the guy did. I don't even know if he did it already. I don't even know if he's already in the process of stealing. He's not in the process of stealing. I could break the guy's neck. How can I do this? That's for Zilberstein's raya. It is a terrible raya. Why is it a terrible raya? As many mefarshim point out, that's not the correct Havana in the story. The truth is, according to Zilberstein, the story doesn't read so well. What was the first question that he asked the guy? He goes, Reka, Reka, kach bnei adam osim kamoscha? This is how people like you act? What was his question? What did the guy do? What did the guy do? What was he trying to say? What are you going to tell me? Didn't you know that we were choshed you? That's what he says in the last comment. What was his first comment? What was his first comment? Reka, this is how people like you act? The only way to understand the comment is the following. Why did Rabbi Yeshua remove the sulam? In order so that if the person tries to get down, he's going to look down, and he's going to say, oh my gosh, there's no way to get out. I guess the guy was choshed me. Foiled again. And the ganav will say, I blew it. I messed up. And that's where Rabbi Yeshua comes and sees him in the morning. He can't believe it. Why can't he believe it? I removed the ladder so that you'll look down and that you won't get hurt. This is how a person like you acts. You don't even look where you're going. In other words, you're so caught up in the gneva, you don't even look before you walk, before you step. He goes, I didn't know you removed the ladder. That's why. He goes, didn't you know we were choshed you? Now the conversation makes sense. But what's the pshat in Rabbi Yeshua's actions? He never thought that the ganav was going to step down. That was a fluke. That was something that was unexpected. Actually, it's a proof the other way. It's a proof. There's no way I could do it if I think he's actually going to fall. I was only permitted to do it because I was choshed him, and I thought that he was going to look down before he stepped. So this is not a precedent for Rav Zilberstein's talk. It's actually a little bit of a proof against. There's a last mucker in Baba Kama, but it's already very late. About lo tasim damim beveisecha, you can look for that for the precedent also. Basically, the bottom line in all of this is that we have here a little bit of a middle ground. On the one hand, it's not as if you did it yourself, grama chayav b'dinei shamayim. You also, in certain cases, you might not even have a mitzvah of atzala here of lo samad al dam reyecha. So you're not responsible, you didn't do it. And you're not chayav to help him. But you know what? A raya to do it, we also don't have. We don't have a raya, we don't have any precedent in any Gemara that you're allowed to do this in your own rishus, even though let the chips fall where they may, let people get hurt. We don't have a raya for that. And there's certainly no raya from the sugya of Haliteo L'Rosh HaViyamas, because the Gemara doesn't even mean that you're allowed to hurt people. It just means you don't have to go the extra mile to save people. So we don't really have a proof. So what should we do? So this is where the initial comment of Rav Zilberstein comes to suffix. So Nu, what are you doing in a suffix? You're machmir. How should we be machmir here? So all the other mefarshim say, I'll tell you how to be machmir, don't put poison in the sandwich. You got to be machmir, pikuach nefesh, you got to be machmir not to hurt people. And Rav Zilberstein says, no. It's my food. I'm allowed to do whatever I want. You want to restrict me? You bring the raya. So at the end, we somehow squeaked in. We have a place where there's no clear raya back and forth, 100%, whether it's mutter or asur to do. How did the poskim decide? In terms of the animal cases with the tomato and the dog, let's go through all the cases actually. With regard to the case of this poison sandwich, that was the machlokes between Rav Zilberstein and everyone else. The case with the clothesline, that person might have been a ganav mefursam already. Therefore, you might not have a chiyav hatzala. That might also be the machlokes between Rav Zilberstein and everyone else. The candies in the vault should not be mutter. That person, this might be his first time offense. You have to help ganavim. You're not allowed to just let them die. You have an isser of lo samad adam reyecha. Putting a hole behind the bushes, same problem. Putting the electric windows, same problem. Replacing the rope for a ganav. He's only in the process of doing one ganeva. How can you replace the rope? Poisoning your tomatoes for the dogs. The marsham at the end, the last mefarish here on this daf, and the chavis yaris say that you're not allowed to kill someone's animals who are hurting you, even by putting poison in your own rishus, even by doing something in your own rishus. So in the case of the poisoned tomatoes, maybe not. The rhinoceros case, the rhino's case, also might have the same, well, the rhino's case, the people who are hurting the rhinos, I don't know how to I don't know what the rhinoceros case is anyway. Anyway, thank you very, very much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Is it a din in that they're killing them?